Week 2, Class 3, Submission in God's Kingdom. We're talking here about Paul's relationship with the other apostles. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days, but other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. Now, what do we see in this? Well, first off, we see that when Paul actually began, I'll put it like this, when he began seeking to be actively involved in ministry, if you will, he went to Jerusalem and he saw two people. He saw Peter and he saw James. Now, Peter and James, are very important, and we'll understand even more here in just a few minutes. But in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now, let's un-King Jamesy this and kind of get an idea of what he's talking about. He says, 14 years after a bunch of these other things happened, I went again to Jerusalem. I went by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. In other words, he's saying, remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12, he's talking about, you know, the things that he had been through and how he was serving God. Then he had the vision, you know, called him to third heaven and so on and so forth. Well, he goes to Jerusalem because he has received instruction from Jesus Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit what he's supposed to preach. In other words, the fullness of the gospel is another way maybe to put that. So he goes to them and he says, look, I'm here in Jerusalem and I want you guys to know what I've been preaching. But I want to get alone with you, those who are of reputation, who seem to be somewhat among us. In other words, the leaders. He says, I want to get alone with you guys. Well, who was he talking about? Well, he would have been talking primarily about the apostles, those who had been there before him. He says, I want to get with you guys, and I want you to know what it is I'm preaching. I want you to know how I got it. And he's telling the Galatians about this, and he says, now the reason I did it was to avoid having made the mistake of getting out there on my own and actually coming into some kind of conflict with the other apostles. Now, that's kind of a simplified version of what we're seeing here, but this is what Paul is talking about. Well, what this says is that Paul had a respect for the leaders in the church, or in other words, he didn't see himself as being better than the others. Now, this is really interesting when you consider how much scripture that Paul wrote. Now, at the time he wrote it, I'm sure he wasn't thinking, I'm writing more Bible. However, he was so anointed of God and so committed to God and was following everything that God laid before him that as he wrote, God was dictating through Paul what was going to become Scripture. And yet Paul was still humble and in submission to those that he considered to be before him, if you will. Let's take a look at some more of this. In 2 Corinthians. And I don't even have the verse there. Or the chapter. So let's see if we can find this. 2 Corinthians. And I'm not going to take very long in this, but let's see here. It's not chapter 1, 2, and I'm about ready to say I don't know. By the time the people get this for correspondence and they're listening to this tape, they're going to say, what's he talking about? Because I will have corrected the syllabus by the time it gets sent out to them. Well, anyhow, what Paul is talking about in this is the... Okay, maybe it's chapter 11 here. Let me read this to you. In verse 1, he says, Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you, I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. Now this may not be the one that I had picked out, but what Paul is doing in these five verses, especially the last part, he's establishing the fact that he is an apostle, but in this he's also indicating their value to the body of Christ. In other words, he's saying, look, I am an apostle, I'm like them. Meaning, these guys are called, these guys are appointed, these guys are anointed, these guys went before me, but I want you to understand that the call on my life is the same as the call on their life. So he's not saying, I am it. He's saying, I am one of the others. But they're the ones that have set the standard, if you will, because they were before me. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll take a look at Paul and the other apostles and how they handled leadership. In verse 1, Paul says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believe me in vain, or unless ye have believed in vain. For I declare unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that ye have seen, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, or they've died. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Now, this James that he's talking about here in verse 7, this is not the apostle James, I mean James the brother of John, this is James the brother of Jesus. Now remember a little bit earlier how we were reading that... when Paul was writing to the Galatians, how he went up to Jerusalem after 3 years and he saw Peter and James. All right, the James that he wrote about there in Galatians was not James, the brother of John. It's James, the brother of Jesus. Now, let's look at some more scripture and you're going to see this. In Matthew 13, verses 55 through 56, it talks about James being one of the brothers of Jesus. I mean, it lists in there. Well, in fact, let's go ahead and take a look at it. Matthew 13. You know, the people were criticizing Jesus, and they said, Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? So you can see in here, verse 55, that Jesus has a brother named James. Now look over in Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 12, it says that they returned to Jerusalem. This is after the ascension of Jesus. They returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. Now turn over to Acts chapter 12. And in Acts chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, About that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Well, then it continues on how that Peter was put in jail, and then an angel came in the middle of the night, woke him up, and miraculously delivered Peter out of jail. Peter went to the place where the people were having a prayer meeting, and in verse 16 of chapter 12, it says, Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Well, James, the brother of John, had just got his head cut off, all right? But here, Peter says, Go show these things to James and the brethren. Notice James is the only one that's identified by name. Paul, the only ones he identified by name after over there in Galatians, was Peter and James. Now look over in Acts chapter 21. See, history records that James, not Peter, was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Now, if you get into some organizations and you follow their timeline, they have Peter established as the first head of the church. And that is not true. James was the first head of the body of Christ. James, the brother of Jesus. Not one of the apostles. James, the brother of Jesus. Because James, the brother of John, got killed. Who's the one that Paul's reporting to? Well, go tell, I went and visited Peter and James in Jerusalem. Who's the one that Peter said, go let know, I got, tell him I got set free? James and the other brethren. James was the only one that they were identifying, with that kind of respect here. And in Acts chapter 21, verse 17, it's talking about, Paul and where they had traveled and so forth. And when they were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. James, the only one here that's named like this. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly the things that God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. Now look over in Galatians chapter 2. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from who? James. He did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Well, why did they do that? Why did Peter do that? Because there were some that came from James. Notice James again is pointed out. Now turn back over to Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, verse 1, it says, Certain men came down from Judea, and they taught the brethren, and said, Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, in other words, they got into a heated argument about this, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, now these are Christian Pharisees, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Remember the Macedonian jailer? Cornelius. How that Peter went to the house of Cornelius and so forth. Back in Acts chapter 10, I believe it was. And God which knoweth the hearts bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble them not, or trouble not them, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication, from things strangled with blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city preached them, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Now notice this in verse 19 where he says, Wherefore my sentence is. Now here's what's interesting. That phrase, sentence is, well actually the entire wherefore my sentence is, that is a, in the Greek, that is a legal term that would be used today. It would be similar to two attorneys presenting a case before a judge, the judge hearing the case, and after he's heard the case, he says, come back tomorrow for my, I will deliberate, come back tomorrow at 9 a.m. for my decision. So tomorrow at 9 a.m., he says, you know, Mr. Defense, you have said such and such, and Mr. Prosecutor, you have said such and such, but my decision is this, we rule in favor of, boom, and he drops the gavel, and that's the end of it. That is, this phrase, wherefore my sentence is, that is a legal term in the Greek stating, here it is, the final say. This is it. The gavel is being dropped. Now notice, James is the one who had that position of authority to make that statement. Everybody else was presenting their case. You had the people on the side of, be circumcised, follow the law. Then you had Peter, Paul, Barnabas, others on the side of, no, it's faith in Jesus alone. That's all that's necessary. And James is sitting there like the judge, listening to all of this. James, the brother of Jesus, he thought, go back and read in the Gospels, he thought Jesus was crazy. He remember it talked about his family, thought he was out of his mind and all this other, and it wasn't until after his resurrection that he came to know Jesus and believe on his own brother as being the Messiah. Well, you can understand that. I mean, he grew up with Jesus. How hard would it be for you to, you know, recognize your brother as being the Messiah? I know my brother and sister would have had a really hard time recognizing me. But you understand what I'm saying. Well, now, not only has he come to believe in his own brother to be the Messiah, he's accepted him as Lord and Savior, been filled with the Holy Spirit, and he has grown in his relationship with God to the point to where the rest of them are recognizing him as being the leader of the church. He didn't even walk with Jesus as a follower or as a disciple. But now the rest of them are in submission to the authority that James holds in the body of Christ. And now look at this. In verse 22 it says, Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria, Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain went out from us and have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of Jesus Christ, we have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall tell you the same things by mouth. Or in other words, listen, we've all come into agreement. Now get a hold of this. Now think closely of how this is being said, what's being stated, and how this is written. It says, we've all come together and we've discussed this thing, and we are now in unity about this decision. Out of this unity, we send this letter to you that there are some who are telling you you need to be circumcised and keep the law. We never said that. And not only are we sending you this letter, but we're also sending you some people who will stand before you, declare the letter, and declare by word of mouth that this is true. Now remember, when this whole thing started off, you had some on both sides. But once they got through talking about it, they all came to the same conclusion, even if there might have been some of them who are still thinking, you know, I understand what everybody's saying, but boy, I've grown up a Jew my whole life. And it's going to be kind of hard for me to break away from all of this, but man, we got to go with it. This must be of God, so we're going to go with it. And James, he is the leader. He's made the decision. So bless God, we're going to support this man. And we're not going to rebel against what has been decided this day. So they end up with a letter saying, we are in unity in this thing. And here's the decision. No circumcision, no law. It's faith in Jesus Christ. That's what counts. Can you see the magnitude of their submission to His place? Now here's the thing that's incredible to me. One of the things of many. Remember when Judas killed himself? And in Acts chapter 2 it talks about how they got the replacement, you know, Matthias to replace him. And they said that one of the qualifications has to be somebody that's been with us, that traveled with us, and you know, saw Jesus and all these kinds of things. And so Matthias was the one that was chosen. But now look who's in charge. James, the brother of Jesus, is now in charge. He wasn't even chosen to be one of the apostles. He wasn't even chosen. I mean, I don't even know for sure if he was there. I don't know. He might have been one of the 120 on the day of Pentecost. I'm not sure yet about that. And I'm not sure if there's anything in Scripture to support that. But nevertheless, somewhere along the line, he got born again. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. And now they are all in submission to His authority. And He's in the position. I mean, He literally, the magnitude of this 15th chapter and what happened, His decision literally set the course for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not by law. It's not by works. It is by faith and faith only. And from that point, they begin spreading that message. And this is one of the things that they confronted, you know, in Paul's writings. You know, oh foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You know, they're trying to put you under the law and stuff like this. Well, right here in this 15th chapter is one of the greatest chapters, one of the greatest studies of submission to authority that you're going to find in Scripture. Paul, the Apostle Paul, and all the incredible things that happened in his ministry. And they go to Jerusalem and they say, okay, James, you're the man. We recognize you as being the leader. I mean, I don't know how it came about that he ended up that way. But they discussed, they debated. James listened and he says, my decision is this. Praise God, James was a man of prayer. You say, how do you know that? Because James was raised a Jew, and his tendency would have been to say, look guys, we've got to circumcise, and we've got to go by the law. Remember, that law came from God. But we know he was a man of prayer and sensitive to the voice of the Lord, because as they're bringing all this up, he knew it was right. No, we've been set free, praise God. My brother set us free. Praise the Lord. Now, in this, it's amazing. I mean, the example in this, to me, is one that we as Christians should really give heed to, because there are going to be times when we in our churches don't always agree with everything the pastor says or does. I mean, you know, personalities are different. That's just the way it is. You know, that's life. How we respond to that is going to make a huge difference in our lives. And it may be something to where, you know, we know the pastor is wrong. And I'll tell you right now, guys, speaking from the perspective of a pastor, there are going to be times to where, if you're ever pastoring, you're going to be faced with decisions. Rock and hard spot, if I say yes, I'm wrong. If I say no, I'm wrong. I mean, the way I look at it, the way everything appears to me, no matter what decision I render, man, I'm going to get chewed by somebody, some way, somehow. So God, which chewing's going to hurt the less? Tell me what to do here. And you're just going to take it. I mean, every now and then, and thank God it's not all the time, but, you know, I mean, sometimes that kind of stuff happens. And there are going to be people that just flat out aren't going to agree. Well, when you disagree, it doesn't mean you pack up and leave the church. You don't leave the church unless God leads you to leave the church. You have to be obedient to Him. So you may not agree with it, and you may see it differently, but if God's put you in that church, now obviously we're not talking about sin and doing things that are not scriptural, okay? But if God's put you in that church, you've got to go along with it. I may not understand it. I may not agree with it. It might not be the thing that I would have done. But that's my pastor, bless God. And that's the decision. And I'm just going to trust that he's prayed this thing out, and that what he's saying is what he got from God. The decision is the way the Lord's leading him. I'm going to support him. And if it turns out that he's wrong, which I kind of think he is, but if it turns out that he's wrong, I'm going to be there and support him and help him through this. As we as a church recover, as he recovers, you know, whatever it would be, you know, I'll be there to help him pick up whatever pieces there are so we can keep going ahead and keep building the kingdom for the sake of our testimony before the world and as a congregation. Well, a lot of Christians don't want to do that. You know, if something happens they don't like, they disagree with, well, boom, I'm out of here. Well, okay, leave if God told you to. Did you get leading from God to go? If so, then you're making the correct decision. If not, don't do it. Stay right there until the Lord makes it clear. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to close off for tonight because if we start in this next section, section 5, there's no way that I'm going to find an easy place to stop. So we're going to go ahead and cut off tonight and, you know, praise the Lord. We just believe good things are going to come out of this. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, Father, Your Word has gone forth. And again, we just ask You to keep helping us to understand how to submit exactly the way that You want us to submit to authority. Keep working in us, Father, opening our eyes to see any areas of rebellion that need to be dealt with. Because we truly want to be right before You. We don't want to be in rebellion. So we thank You for helping us in this area. Now, Father, as we leave tonight, we ask for, and by faith, Father, we receive divine protection. We love You. We honor You. Jesus, we give You all the glory for the wonderful things that have happened here tonight. In Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. We'll see you next time.